From the Midas at Roseburg Studio, KQEN weather in the Umpqua Valley. Just a slight chance of rain after 4 o'clock. Going to be a partly sunny afternoon. Steady temperature of 54. Rain likely after 10 p.m. Cloudy. Steady temperature of about 49. On Saturday, it is a 90% chance of rain. High of 56 Saturday night. 100% chance of rain, 46 to low. Then on Sunday, 70% chance of rain in the morning, turning to showers. Cloudy and a high of 55 on Monday. Rain chance is 70%, and we are at 54 degrees right now. KQEN News Time, 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Another check-in with one of our local legislators, State Representative Gary Leaf. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
This morning.
So let's go through a lot of things. Where do you want to start out?
So first of all, I want to start out by congratulating Alex Palm and Renee Cohen for being awarded the Roseburg 2019 First Citizens. It was a great evening last night at the fairgrounds. And also recognized was my good friend Mike Winters for Wintergreen Nursery, Sherms, and Riverview Terrace as the businesses of the year. It's always great to go and, you know, gather with all the leaders and kind of hear all the stuff that's going on. It was a great event last night. Were you there last night, Kyle?
No, I actually tried to be in two places at once and it didn't work. So, but we've got a story up from the event and just trading messages with Alex Palm a little bit ago about getting that award. Let's back up before we go forwards. Talk about the legislative days and how you felt that went.
So it was a very busy week up in Salem. So we have 2 weeks before our short session starts. But during the short legislative days that we have, that's where we kind of present our bills and committees start doing their work. So I have two bills this session, which all the House members can only have two bills during the short session. Now, during the long session, you can have as many as you want. So Representative Brock Smith, I think he had like over 110 bills during the long session. So he's down to two bills, so am I. But my priority bill is to help CASA fund through their 22 districts in Oregon. And if we get that approved, we can advocate for about another 1,000 children in foster care. So there are 11,500 kids in foster care right now, and CASA only has enough funding for about 4,500 kids, which means about 6,500 kids are without advocates. This is a great bipartisan bill. I've never testified before a committee, and they were asking on the committee if they could sign on to my bill. So that was great. And my second bill actually comes from Wayne over at the Sheriff's Office, and the Sheriff's Police and OSP associations have advocated for this. And it's about the first 24 hours of a missing child or an adult. And that is the most important time to find someone. So currently, law enforcement cannot get a court order for a cell company or bank to get in their records to locate where their last communication is. So they can get a subpoena, but oddly enough, a subpoena doesn't seem to work the same as a court order. And so this will allow faster response times to find locations of individuals. And I think it's going to be a great bill. And then my third, it's actually a committee bill, so it's not really my third bill, but my committee bill is for grant funding for the rural Oregon septic sewer systems. And this is through a organization called Craft 3, and it would give $2.5 million for a revolving fund for low-income families whose septic systems are failing. And remember, if you have a failing septic system, you're getting leachate into the groundwater. And this would provide a fund that would be paid back without interest over a very long period of time for those low-income families that would never be able to afford it.
So you've got those bills. Now, during the short session, do you still have the the committee hearings and the things like that that you would during a long session for each piece of legislation?
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Matter of fact, during ledge days is almost the same as the short session as far as committee meetings, because actually the House Human Services Committee asked me to come and testify and comment about the Roseburg VA home. You've probably heard about it for the last 25 years, and it's going to be my priority bill for 2021. I testified before the committee and received an excellent review from them and a commitment that they would be next and funding would be there. So Roseburg, I don't know if you know about this, but Roseburg was approved in 1995 as the number one home in Oregon. And we're now down to number three. It's purely politics. Unbelievable if you go through and look through the last 25 years. So we're working closely with the VA and Director Allen on a timeline that they've laid out. But, you know, government works slow. And even though if we fund this next year, it's still going to be another 5 years before we actually see it built. And that's how government works. But it's going to be on the top of my list. But it's one of the reasons why we didn't ask for funding this year is because we knew we were going to have to give it back to Salem at the end of the biennium. So we went for the university instead.
So looking ahead to the short session, what are some of your priorities?
You know, housing and homeless and mental health are really problem issues right here. I had a great meeting with Casey Bolton with Viva Help and Greg Brigham with ADAPT. And they agree too that we need to look at alternatives that come out of the session. And so I looked in my budget and have decided that I'm going to hire an extra full-time staff person to follow housing, homelessness, and mental health. It's too much for me to do all my committee work and follow these bills. So at least I'll know what's coming out of the pipeline and try and make sure that Southern Oregon gets all the needed resources and revenue to help. There'll be more to come, and I'm really excited that I've got people down here in Roseburg that are going to help.
And during the short session, the pace of what can be accomplished in 35 days is certainly tested because you've got a constitutional mandate. You can't run it longer. You could adjourn and come back in a special session, but even that's a little complicated. So it seems like there's going to be a lot of things on the table.
Yeah, this is kind of like speed dating. You're going to, you know, you don't know whether you're going to be there through Friday or all the way through Sunday. You don't know if you're going to be there till 11 o'clock in the evening. So it all depends on how many bills make it through committee. So each legislator and the House can have two, each senator can have one. But that doesn't mean they're going to make it through the committee. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with those committee meetings and how far they make it through, and then how much feedback they'll get from, you know, the communities.
How many committees is each legislator on? I mean, is it a fixed amount, or does it vary sometimes based on what the leadership wants?
It really varies by, you know, how much time the committee takes. So a lot of the things, like I'm on the HEC, so it's a higher education caucus. It's not a committee, but it doesn't take very much time. So it's real easy. But I have two full ways and subways and means committees. One's transportation and economic development, and the other one's public safety, and they are huge. They suck up your time. They're twice a week. They're 3 hours a day during those days, and they actually take up about $15 billion of our $30 billion collection of revenue, and so they're big. And our total budget's is over $75 billion with fees and taxes. And then I'm also now the new vice chair of the Water Committee, and that's going to take an inordinate amount of time. So, you know, some of the legislators have three, four committees. Some of them have two. Just depends on how much it requires.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More with State Representative Gary Leaf when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 at Inside Douglas County from News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson Show coming up at 1. On Mondays, Inside Douglas County, Nick Marshall from the National Guard and a couple of the staff from Cephalon High School are going to be on talking about a special event at the high school not that far off. We'll tell you more about that on Mondays, Inside Douglas County. And joined with us today is State Representative Gary Leaf, looking ahead to this upcoming short session. I've got this question a few times, just talking to folks lately in town who are trying to figure out how things work in Salem, and I keep getting the question, you know, the short session, wasn't this designed to just be updating budgets and minor things, and it seems like it's becoming more than that?
Kind of evolved each year. It's gotten a little bigger and a little bigger. And I went back and I looked at the voters pamphlet from 2011, and actually Senator Burdock even quoted that it was supposed to be for minor legislative fixes and budget fixes. And so I talked to our caucus leaders, and they asked me to submit an ask to our legislative attorneys there. And they gave an illegal opinion back that said, even though that might have been quoted, and even though the people might have voted because of that, because it's not mentioned in the bill, and it was passed by the people, it's law the way it is. So what I learned by this, and it really concerns me, is you can say anything that's untrue. If the voters pass it and they don't check the bill, it's law. What a shame.
And do you think we're going to see that as becoming more and more of an issue in these short sessions?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was talking to Senator Boquist, his wife, who's his chief of staff, and they are very concerned about this, and I think there'll also be some legal asks. And there's a couple of bills right now that are actually asking to limit the dollar amount that can be done. And there's another bill that one of the senators, or Republican senators, is proposing, is to eliminate the short session completely, because it just gets too complicated. When you get back into session, you only have 35 days to do this. Now you're talking about cap and trade, and then you're talking about these major gun bills. You can't do those in 35 days. You know, we barely get them done in almost 6 months. So I agree we need to do something. And just for folks that know about this, on February 7th, they're going to have another Timber Unity event up in Salem. And I'll tell you, the last Timber Unity event, I went up there, I was absolutely mesmerized by the amount of people that were in downtown Salem just traveling around the course. Well, matter of fact, we were on the air together. Remember, I was on the third floor, and you said, oh, you're down on the ground? And I said, no, I'm on the third floor. It was amazing.
Right. I remember a very noisy event. We'll be talking more about that, in fact, in coming days. What are some of the other things looking ahead for you in this session?
So, like I said, cap and trade is going to come up. I'm not sure where it's going to go. I don't think they have the Democrat votes in the Senate, so we'll just have to kind of wait and see on that. I got great news from the Public Utilities Commission on the smart meters. I actually submitted legislation in 2018 to keep their old analog meters and not charge like they were proposing to do, which was a lot of money, $150 to keep their meter, install the old one, and then it was like $30 a month. Anyways, they are going to opt out of the current amount, and they're going to reduce the meter fee to zero, so they can have their meter replaced to the old analog, and then it'll only be $9 a month. That has to go before the Public Utilities Commission. Once they approve it, then it'll be law. So I'm really proud of that. I'm very proud of PP&L for working with me and for working with the customers of Oregon. I think that's really big.
Getting ready for the session, before we get started off the air, you mentioned you were going through a pretty large volume of email that comes in. As you get ready for a session, that obviously ramps up a lot. How hard is it to stay on top of all the folks that are trying to communicate with you, both from legislative leadership and the GOP and from the other side of the aisle and perhaps from the governor and others that are all sending out mass emails to lawmakers?
Well, not only that, but there's meetings. Yeah, you remember last month I was in a leadership meeting in Portland, and it was a big deal. It took 3 days. So it's kind of funny, when I decided to take this position and run for this position, it was told to me, oh, it's a part-time job. No, it's part-time, I guess, is 12 hours a day to some people. But you get, I mean, literally 100 emails or more a day out of session and during session. It's like crazy. And I don't answer every single email. So a lot of people will email me and say, hey, I think you should do this, or, you know, I agree with this. And, you know, I put those in with the other emails, and I try and kind of keep track of those. But some people ask some real specific issues, but a lot of people ask for help. So one of the biggest requests I get is with DHS. So DHS has a lot of, it's gotten really big. And so there's a lot of big concerns about that. They're kind of almost too big right now to manage all of what they have. And so a lot of people ask me to kind of step in. I'm happy to do that. But, you know, in the end result, they're kind of, they review everything. And I've really not had any cases turned away any different than what they do.
So looking at this short session and the amount of things that are going to be happening, are you concerned at all about this issue that a couple of folks have mentioned about possibly a walkout again?
You know, we talked about that during legislative days, and actually some of the Republicans on the House side have come in and they actually asked me if I would participate in a walkout on day one. And I said, absolutely not. You know, that makes absolutely no sense to me. And really, the House has so many more Democrats, you know, who have a different opinion that they almost have a full quorum. So, I mean, they just need two Republicans to stay at home, and they're going to be able to pass anything. And so, I don't think it's going to happen in the House. The Senate is the one that has a little bit more capability for that, and you've got some Democrats right now who don't agree. I absolutely love Senator Betsy Johnson. I talked with her the other day, and she told me straight up, she goes, I do not know what they're thinking about up there, the Democrats from Portland. She goes, they're just losing their mind. I love her. She's great. But so it'll be hard for them, but I would look for the Senate to do anything major this time. I don't know that the House would do anything.
And do you feel like because of this sort of acrimony and back and forth on certain key issues that it's slowing down the pace of other things getting done?
Yeah, well, there's things that we can do. And we did this at the last session. We made them read the bills. So one bill alone could almost take a week. That's how much paperwork there is. And when you have 5 weeks, you know, you don't have a lot of time to read bills. So that's a way that we can slow things down. But that also, what that does, it's tit for tat. It's like, okay, well, then we're going to be here 24 hours a day while you make us read the bills. Okay, you know, and so there's kind of that give and take. All right, so if we don't read the bills, will you maybe not put this bill in front or that bill? And that's how we got rid of a couple of the bills last time, is by, you know, promising that we were going to do something unless they agreed to take something off. And then, of course, when the Senate walked out, you know, that's where things kind of stopped. But I honestly, last time, I don't know that they actually had the votes to even to do the cap and trade last time. But of course, when the senators walked out, they, you know, they lost everything.
All right, we'll be watching the developments as they take place very soon in that short session. Looking ahead to that, looking back at the legislative days and more, State Representative Gary Leaf on with us today. Thanks for being on the program.
All right, follow my Facebook. Thank you very much, Kyle. You have a wonderful day.
12:57 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.